I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion. Fashion. Hey. Hello. Hello. We're back.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
I'm opting. We've all gotten out of the habit of wearing headphones, and I have one ear in now, and it's very weird.
It is weird.
Yeah.
I don't even like doing the sound check. Ugh, you can hear me?
Ugh. Oh, there I am.
Well, it's a good thing we do to make sure.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Anyone?
No need to call Dave down at the last second and say,
David,
help us.
I've been watching a lot of Schitt's Creek. David, with this, she has this weird accent.
Expectation, yeah.
There doesn't belong anywhere. Alexis.
Oh God,
I gotta watch more of that show.
It's so good.
I've seen maybe like half a dozen episodes, but I gotta like, because it's on Netflix. I gotta find.
I am in love.
Gotta make time for it. She's amazing
with Dan Levy.
Dan Levy's awesome.
Been in love with Catherine O'Hara.
Yes,
she's the best.
What did I just watched a bit of Home Alone the other day with her.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. It was great. And watching with my 4-year-old and going, there's a lot that is over your head.
Yeah. That's like a 9-year-old's movie,
yeah.
I think.
I'm like, let's watch Elf. Even yeah. then, there was Dave was watching Elf and Dave's like, she doesn't know what a mail room is. She doesn't know about writing kids' books and what that looks like. Go back to the beginning where he's at the North Pole. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Go to the Grinch.
Yeah, there you go. Oh,
something visually stunning.
Yes.
And gripping.
Not scary.
Yeah.
Or sensitive little flower.
I just saw her. I was at dinner at a local haunt here called Stormcrow Tavern, and they were playing Beetlejuice. So
I loved that movie. When
delicious
I was a kid.
Dinner scene.
Yes.
With all that weird modern art.
Mm-hmm. I was Lydia Deetz for Halloween one year. It was great.
Of course.
I had a black outfit and my mom made me this little like cape. It looked like a red spider web. My hair, which I make
little
up.
Little spiky bangs.
Yeah, it was great. I was probably like grade 5. One of the years I wasn't She-Ra. Because there was multiple years I was She-Ra.
I was a witch for many, many years.
Likewise. Continue to
still,
be.
To this day.
Continue to do so. Yeah. Yeah.
Some things just can't shake. Yeah. We were just talking about how we're recording this before Christmas, but it's being released after Christmas, so we don't want to like talk about it too much. But there's not much else going on.
I did just watch The Grinch before coming here over dinner.
Yeah, we've watched it many times. It's great. And it's 20 minutes long. It's great. It's perfect. But yeah, just trying to get it all done. Trying to figure it out.
I'm in that part of pre-Christmas work mode where it's like just
tie up all the loose ends. Yeah,
I
cross it off the list. Ugh. Don't add anything new to the list.
Do not put anything up. For the love of God, don't add to that list. Just give
what
me.
Do I need to do now so I don't have to do it later?
Can I phone this in? How can
I get back to you in January?
Yeah.
Can this wait till February?
Everybody is in that house, so everyone's like, let's talk in the new year. Great.
Awesome. Love it.
And suddenly you have a year's worth of shit to do in January.
Yeah, we're talking today about how January is look a little bit busy.
Yeah. January's getting crazy.
Funny how that happens. You just keep put things off and procrastinating. And
actually, the day that this comes out, today, as you're listening to this, if you're getting it fresh, is the craziest day of my job in the entire year. This day.
Yes. You have got a
many,
lot on
many
your plate.
For many, reasons, while you're listening
dot
to this,
and tease to cross.
I've already been at work for probably 3 or 4 hours at least.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, Godspeed, Katie. Godspeed, future
fresh
Katie.
Off vacation.
There you go.
I'll be ready for it. I'll be ready for everything to be done.
Yeah, exactly. You just do it. Just get her done.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. Yeah. So yeah, Katie and I were talking about how we don't have anything to report, but Evan has something to report. I think we talked about it a bit
last episode, but
now we have it.
I have it in my clutches, the December issue of National Geographic.
This is no joke, people.
No, seriously. Like,
no
I,
joke.
I,
this is legit.
I bought it and I kept it with me for a couple of days, and then every day I just kind of looked at it to make sure
is still
that
there.
That it was real.
That it was still there. And I'm just like, is that still?
Did you buy a second one to make sure it's in that one too?
My mom bought one. And my mom sent me a photo. Just to
make sure it wasn't some weird, like, one-off.
Yeah. And whenever I see it in like a newsstand or something, I just like open it up to that page. And
you know
like,
what page okay, it is.
It's there. Yep, it's there.
It's,
there.
It's not yeah. just the one copy I have.
Yeah, so I just.
It wasn't just some novelty copy they had made for me.
This isn't like a fever dream. This isn't no. like a
hallucination.
A fucking or, yeah. Christmas Carol situation where they're looking into the past or the future.
National Geographic.
Christmas future.
Past, a fashion yeah. past.
God.
But it's good. Well, so
congratulations.
Tell us how this happened.
Exciting, yeah.
But it's an image of the rehearsal for my fashion show in Toronto, I believe. And it's a full page of just my clothes in National Geographic.
Beautiful woman and in your beautiful outfit.
Yeah, her name is Shalane Bouvier. And big ups to the PR director from Indigenous Fashion Week Toronto, Damien Nelson. And also to Daniela Zalkman, she's the photographer for National Geographic, who is shooting the whole event.
Amazing.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
Like a couple of months back, they messaged me being like, hey, we need to know the name of this model. And can you tell us how to spell your name correctly and like where you come from? Because this has been like shortlisted to be featured in an article.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, okay. Was
oh,
like,
okay, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Click, 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 send, done. Thank you.
Don't think of it again.
Let me do every other fucking thing that I need to do on my gigantic checklist.
And not get your hopes up about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You know, it's happened so many times. I've done so many interviews and like they never come to light, you know?
Or there's never a picture.
Or there's never, or it's just like it's not covered the same way, or like the picture is like super small. Yeah. Like
online
like,
only.
Yeah. Or it's it's only the online issue, or it's only the online version of the story. But no.
It looks amazing.
Not this time around.
It's a great shot. It's a beautiful outfit.
Mm hmm. We shared it on the Instagram already.
On Instagram, yes.
And I'm going to reshare some images that were sent to me, some better quality images.
Awesome. Fantastic. Yeah. And what the gist of the article is,
so
Native people taking their stories back or something, wasn't it?
It's the whole series. There was a year-long series in National Geographic called Diversity in America, and the last season, the last issue was about Native American people reclaiming their stories.
Mm.
So the byline is reclaiming our stories. Native Americans are recasting narratives about Indigenous culture, countering the racist fixations that have plagued views of Indian life throughout U.S. history. And obviously, I'm not a United States citizen. I don't identify as Native American. But
Indigenous Fashion Week.
I was at Indigenous Fashion Week Toronto, wow. And still very honored to be featured alongside all these amazing people. I've talked about Kim Talbert before. She's this badass academic who is the Dean of Indigenous Studies, or she's the Assistant Dean of Indigenous Studies at the University of Alberta. She has a lot of amazing work on Indigenous sexualities and Indigenous feminism. Deb Haaland, one of the first Native American women to be elected to the U.S. Senate, was in this article. And then a bunch of amazing photographers, Kelly Spitzer.
Beautiful.
Who's a friend of a friend, and some amazing images of Standing Rock that.
Sure, I'll stay with you forever.
That are incredibly haunting and powerful and beautiful.
It's and an then amazing there's my to be.
Dress,
which is beautiful and yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's really exciting
on there. Yeah,
it's really exciting. Yeah, I was in passing a couple of months back. I was like, I want to be in conversation with Kim Talbert. I want to be talked about in the context
name
of
next
Kim Talbert.
To, yeah.
And literally, our names are on the same page together.
Oh my God, you guys, this is the secret.
You did it.
Now can I just manifest all of my debts
that.
Being paid off?
That'd be nice.
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, but it's not going to happen the way you think.
No.
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 No. You're not going to stumble on a pile of cash. It's going to come in other ways.
No, I'm not going to like fall into a bush at the park and just find like
a
bag of money.
Oh, that would be nice.
That would
be nice. Yeah.
I'd be like, this is drug dealer's money. I have to leave it.
Oh.
Yeah, there will be a hit out on me.
Yeah.
You don't just take a bag of
there's
cash
somebody,
you find in
there's
a
somebody
somewhere.
In a bush somewhere watching that bag of cash.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Well, congratulations. That's an incredible. Yes.
Wonderful.
Incredible feat. And you should be very proud of yourself.
I am.
I bet you're. Mom and your mama and your aunties and everybody is pretty excited.
Gloating.
Gloating. Because like where like everybody knows National Geographic. Not everybody.
Oh, for sure.
Totally.
So
as much as a big deal it was for you to also be in Vogue.
Yeah.
This is a big deal because it's outside your sphere, and it's like it's just in a different weird context. Like esoteric fashion thing, this niche thing. It's putting you in the bigger picture, which we all are, and it's, you know, you're part of a bigger picture, and your narrative fits in with other people's narratives, and you're doing your part to build yours, and that will weave in with all
the greater, the greater movement at hand.
Yes,
yes, it's been a wild ride, kids,
and right at the end of the year too. Like it wasn't the main issue.
Yeah,
like at the end of the year too. That's nice.
It feels like a nice little cherry on a on a steaming pile of garbage.
Oh,
that was 2018. Yeah, should we get into it?
let's do it.
Well, we figured since this was coming out like January 2nd or something, isn't it? Yeah. That we could do a little recap and talk about last year and how it potentially will flow
in
into
review.
2019. Year in review. So we have a few things that, and there's a lot of crossover. There's a lot of double dipping happening with some of these stories, but
we've narrowed it down to
that's the way the world works.
Five main themes. It's our top five.
Top five shit. 2018.
WTF.
Our top five gripes.
Yeah.
Of 2018.
Yeah. Top five. What the actual five?
What the actual? Okay. Oh, number
Katie's
one.
Katie's got the list. Rattle off.
Number one. Diversity on the catwalk in models, in modeling, in campaigns. There, 2018, for all of its faults, really made an effort of
making it for all the years.
About getting, you know, a runway that wasn't just skinny white girls.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good.
Mm-hmm. Magazine covers that aren't just skinny white girls.
There were people of color sometimes.
Oh, sometimes. You know.
No, there was definitely a push. Definitely a push towards more inclusivity. New York Fashion Week was the most diverse ever in its history, with 44.8% of its models were people of color, with an increased plus size and trans population represented. Obviously, there's miles and
there's
miles
room
and miles
for growth.
To go, especially with trans and size.
Yes.
Different sizes of people.
Yes, literally. Yeah, the skin color. They're all different colors, but they're the same.
but they're still curated based on this.
Yes,
this
Western idea of beauty, right? But then you have badasses like Rihanna and stuff who are filling their shows with cool people and of interesting
Christian Siriano
things.
As well is always
he's
in
always
the last
got a
couple
good
of
selection.
Seasons,
yeah,
had a good selection.
And it's amazing how, and we talked about this when we had flashback to Victoria Welsby, the Wham Bam Pow Lifeboat, how just more interesting and awesome it is to see these shows that just have cool people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rihanna's show had two pregnant ladies, I think. I think one of them gave birth like later that day or something.
Like she had contractions backstage.
Yeah.
I forget her. She's got like one, she's got like a one word name that's like Sif or something, like something awesome. She was later with the big gap in her teeth. Mm-hmm. She was fucking gorgeous. Very, very pregnant.
Very pregnant.
Which was great. Made me smile.
Totally.
She rocked it. She did an amazing job. And seeing all these, you know, African models and Indian models and, you know, they're not just, you know, Brazilian girls who are, they're Brazilian, but they're also blonde hair and blue eyed.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really count.
And pencil thin and 6 feet.
And also, yes, a size 00. But some have giant boobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice to see. It's nice to see that people are paying attention and then also making the changes because somebody's got to do it.
And people are...
There has to be somebody who does it first.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And people are catching on to that, and that regardless of it being the right thing to do, which it is, it's also, for lack of a better word, I hate to say it, but it's
good
a
business.
Trendy thing
it's good
to
for
do
your brand.
Right now because people want to see it.
Yeah.
It's
people
good
are
for your brand.
Thirsty for it.
Yeah. So if you're not doing it, it's just a matter of time before someone calls you out.
Mm-hmm.
Diet product.
Well, there's a shift in the conversation between, oh, hey, look, there's a black girl, to, hey, where's the black girl?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is nice.
Yeah. And it's not just people of color who are noticing that.
Catwalks are riddled with white people. Yeah,
you know,
people of color.
It's white people who are noticing that there's white people all over the catwalk. That's good to see. That's a huge change from even when we were in school. You know.
Oh, for sure.
We never talked about that in school. Never, not once.
No.
Over 2 years, we never talked about diversity in the runways. We had our classroom full of people from all over the place. Mm-hmm.
That's true. I never thought about that.
Mind you, we had a bunch of white lady teachers too. But
exactly.
That is true.
Who all worked in the business in like the late 80s, early 90s, like throughout the 90s.
Yeah, and she were brought up like, in that mentality
of you just hire
a bunch of white girls.
Well, as progressive, quote unquote, as the fashion industry is and claims itself to be.
Can seem to be at this moment.
Well, I mean, in general, it's always what's next, what's new trends, new colors, new seasons, new moving blah, blah, forward. Blah. Always moving forward. But in this front, it is extremely slow to change and catch on. And I mean, it's a bit nuts. Like we were talking about one of the ones that we chose not to talk about was the new designer this year at Louis Vuitton Menswear, Virgil Abloh, is the first African American designer to lead that team.
And was like, the first black guy to do anything at that level, essentially.
Like that shouldn't be news. That should be like
he's the new cool guy for the job.
Yeah. It's like, and I'm sure part of it is because he's good pals with Kanye West, and this was before Kanye.
And Naomi.
He's making moves, he's doing other things with other brands, and Louis Vuitton wants to get in on that.
But that shouldn't be the headline.
Because they're a sinking old freighter that needs to be revived.
Yeah. But I mean, that's also a classic story in any kind of artistic medium, is when this old beast is about to shutter its doors and it's sputtering at the end of its life. They just needed to get some like hot young thing who just happens to be a person of color to pop in and inject some cool and some
because
life
it's
into
trendy,
the brand,
like you said, if, because you know? It's a trendy thing to do. Like so shitty as that is,
yeah.
It's good.
Hey, man,
I mean,
if it leads,
good.
If it paves the road for it to not be trendy and to just be
the
how it works,
yeah.
Then hey, man, at this, you know. I'm on board.
And there would be a lot of people, to play devil's advocate, who would say that because it's trendy, it's not really making any concrete change. It's like as soon as the trend is over, no one's going to care anymore. And
we're
going to
go back to the
same thing.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case.
I don't think so either.
Because people of color will hire other people of color.
Exactly.
Like you said, it's all this networking, and he knows Kanye and he knows Naomi and he's making moves and he's been also doing great, progressive, interesting, different work for Off-White and its own other brands and stuff that he's been doing, which is...
I went into the Off-White store and I hate how much I loved it. Because like the shit that you see on Instagram and with all the influencers, those are the boring shit. It's like hoodies and shoes and
with Off-White
bags and belts. But
branded,
like, there's some
all over
stunning
it.
Like evening wear there, like great jackets and separates. And I was like, oh shit.
It's nice from cool Vancouver stuff.
Yeah.
Where?
It's right next to Prada.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Designer's Row.
It's in the alleyway, though.
I never go to.
Oh, cool.
It's in the alleyway between Montclair and YSL.
Oh, okay. On like Alberti and stuff in town.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's a really cool store.
Cool. I'll check
Good
it
out. To know. Maybe I'll be brave enough to go in. Maybe just walk by.
I do like walking into Montclair like I belong there.
Yes.
And Chris always makes fun of me. He's like, do you want to go to this cookie store? I'm like, yes. David, let's go.
Oh,
Alexis.
Oh, God.
It's good, though.
Yeah.
It's always fun. But I just think, like you were saying about diversity and when you have more people in that pool that are people of color, those people are going to make it okay for the next round of people to come. And then they'll get hired.
Clearing pathways.
Yes, exactly. So I don't think
I'm totally blanking on this woman's name. She's like, she's this fairy... this awesome woman who was doing this great, like a TED talk or something about diversity in corporations and like super high levels of things. And she was talking about how having a diverse board is better for your company than having the most intelligent people on your board, quote, intelligent, because measuring intelligence is also problematic.
Yeah.
But
has a lot to do with class. Access to education.
Elitism, racism, ableism, all that stuff. Nepotism. All those terrible isms. Mm-hmm. But like your company will be better off and your bottom line will be stronger and your product will be better and your engagement with your customer will be better if you have more diverse people throughout your company.
Mm-hmm. Doi! I feel like a doi oi. That seems so
it's
obvious.
It's ridiculous, but you know.
Anyway.
If that's what it takes somebody to literally spell it out for you, then
great.
Let's make it happen. Let's just do it. Happen. Let's move forward with this information and make
action these.
Let's move
events.
On to the next agenda. Yeah, yes. The agenda for this. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, we're not.
Oh man,
can we not talk about it anymore? Can we just do it?
Let's just do it.
Just do it. Just make
it right.
Just do it right.
Everybody, just do it. We're do all right. doing better. Just keep doing better. Should we move on?
Yes.
Are we a good time?
Yes, okay. I think we're good.
Number two, abandoning the traditional quote-unquote calendar of the fashion cycle of shows and four shows a year.
Your 820 drop, your 830 drop means
your
August 30th.
Your 12 collections.
Yes.
That you have to do because you get the minis and the collaborations and the capsules and the four regular, because there's only two for a while and now there's four and now there's all these other ones. And
the
being restricted to fashion weeks.
And the production calendar turnover is so much shorter than it used to be.
And
so
the ordering.
Immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's visual right away. So people want to see it they want to have it because they've already seen it.
Yeah. I don't want to wait.
And they'll be bored
months.
Of it by the time it gets into a store.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so weird. Working in an industry where you have to. You're planning ahead. You're constantly planning ahead just because of these, you know, realistic parameters like time and space and manpower and things like that. And the speed of the mail. And, you know, you have to take all these things into account. Having to think. I've been doing it for a while now. Not a long time. It's still confusing.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
When is pre-fall? Is that before or after resort? Which do we pre-fall and resort together, or we do spring and I don't know. And
pre-fall and fall,
pre-fall and fall. I know because they make together, and then resort and spring. But even then, that's
and what's
weird.
Cruise?
It seems in my mind
cruise
is resort. In my mind, okay. Fall and resort should go together just because like it's over the winter. I don't know. I'm overthinking it because I'm always confused.
And also, that's just one company.
Part of it. Yeah,
and it's just one company. Like. Some companies do rounds of production that are like, maybe they'll do eight rounds of production. They'll do two deliveries for pre-fall, two deliveries for fall, two deliveries for resort, two deliveries for spring.
Because it just
so
depends
the
on their
happens in one
manufacturing
part.
Or their design process or their fabric acquisition or whatever.
And then the rollout will happen differently because there's two deliveries. So do you want the first delivery? Do you want the second delivery? Well, we have got this top in this color in the second delivery, but on the first. Mm-hmm. And then there's other companies that do just two, just like a spring, summer, and a fall, winter. And then their production is different. So the calendar itself is
a big old mess
and it has some sort of strict dates that were based on the fashion weeks, basically the international is the wrong word, but there isn't a good one.
Yeah,
the
big ones,
the New York,
the official,
the New York, the London, the Paris, the Milan, that was kind of dates,
the big four.
So that's sort of where everything comes from. But
now everybody's got a fashion week.
Yeah.
Production's all over the place, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Depending on where you're getting all your shit from, it can be from eight different places.
It'll
try to coordinate
be,
all that.
It'll always be crazy before Christmas, like October to like mid-December will always be crazy.
Sure. Getting ready for holidays.
The Black Friday effect now.
Yeah, and Thursday in October.
Probably another delivery before.
Or November, sorry.
Yeah, before Thanksgiving.
So now you have to plan to be able to have your fall release, which is usually in like July or August, and your resort release, which can be in like February or January or whatever. And then you have to find something else right in the middle because that's when the big shopping thing is. That's when people want the stuff the most. And that's where, you know, so many brands get a huge chunk of their annual revenue is in that last 6 weeks of the year.
Like most of it is, most brands, I think it's like at least a third of their sales happen in that like 6 weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
which is insane. Can you imagine?
Oh, man.
Boy-oy. But Alexander Wang this year abandoned that, made quite a big deal of it, of abandoning the calendar. Why not? I mean,
Porzi Shuler tried to, right? Him. They had talked about it too. They did it last year, even, I think. Mm-hmm. But now more people are getting on board because, especially in New York Fashion Week, it's a beast.
Yes.
There's like 2,000 shows because everybody is trying to get in on it. It's official, it's an unofficial. It's like, you're putting it on during because you know everybody's in town. People who are actually having to work these fashion shows, like reporters and photographers and stage hands and all these people who actually physically make it happen, they can't. There's not enough hours in the day. There's not enough hands, you know, to do it all. Like, they're just worked to the bone.
Mm-hmm. Four times a year.
Four times a year. And it's just not. And people, the designers have been talking about it for a little bit since we started this podcast, for sure, complaining about the speed of it and how much it's getting out of control. And I can only imagine for all the other poor peons who are like actually doing the grunt work for it, what that means and the cost of it all, to have to hire more people and do this and find new interesting things to do. And
especially when you're looking at the production side of things too, because that's what's sort of changing this all, is because it doesn't take 6 months for a collection to be shown made. And then orders go in and then get made and then get shipped out. That doesn't take that long anymore. So if people see a show at New York Fashion Week, they want to be able to have it as soon as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. Well, now you can, I mean, if you're tight, you can do it in a 3-week, 4-week turnaround. So that means that any side of that brand that's working on production is also working and insane. Like that, mm-hmm. The Fashion Week produces and another insane line of...
Cycle of just frenetic.
Just everything. Yeah. Just, it's all hands. And there's no... It's because that's what the customer wants. So,
and there's money to be had. And at the end of the day,
you got to listen to your customer.
Yeah, you got to get that money.
So, yeah. So Alexander Wang decided to go for two quote unquote seasonless collections. Collection one.
That were still two. Spring, summer, and fall, winter.
Pretty much. Yeah. One was June. One was December.
I think those were the deliveries.
Those were the
release.
The releases, I think. Which was a strange choice to me, why you would pick December. I guess maybe that's just how their sales are. Yeah.
They do better.
They just crunch the numbers.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know?
Maybe the production schedule works better because if they're doing production later in the year, everyone else's production is done ahead of time already, so that it's already in stores by
October or November, right? And they can sneak in afterwards. Mm-hmm. Well, because that's the thing too, is like you have to... Very few brands have their own factories. You're always sharing factories with other people and other brands. And it's constantly a shuffle of trying to figure out where your days get in. When does your stuff get cut? And then it might get cut and then sit there for 2 weeks because someone else has jumped the queue or they were in there longer or whatever. So you think you've planned ahead and then all of a sudden you're 2 weeks behind because shit happens. There's a long weekend or like whatever, right?
But your staff is like, I don't want to change the thread 200 times, so yeah, we're doing this collection because it's also all black. Yeah.
So you can get fucked.
So you can wait. Sorry, we're doing black thread this week.
Yeah. And we're charging you 10% more. Changing threads. Oh, which is a real
you
thing.
You sound like...
Change a thread on a sweatshirt? Fuck that.
You sound like the dude who runs the factory in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. This like really gruff Brooklyn guy. Just like,
schmata.
Fuck you.
My schmata.
Yeah.
I've been watching the shit out of that show.
I know you'd love it.
Oh my God, you'd love it. So good. We've been burning through it.
Dirty Shaloub.
It's so good.
Mm. Oh, well.
That was a wonderful thing about 2018.
That was a very wonderful thing.
There you go. That'll do it. That was good.
It's been very hard to try and find nice things that happened this year in our in our wonderful industry of fashion.
Oh, fuck. What was the thing
I
posted?
At large.
What was the thing I posted yesterday on my Facebook? And I was like, this speaks to me on a very like primal level. There's just a tweet and it's like,
on a
Twitter, explain.
On a molecular level.
Siri, describe 2018 in one tweet for me. And it was some guy, I don't know who this Tim Grierson is, says, being angry all the time is exhausting and corrosive. And not being angry feels morally irresponsible.
Ooh.
Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that in my bones.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly a little bit mad.
When you find yourself in a moment of uninhibited joy and you feel so much shame.
Just like, letting that anger go for 30 seconds.
How dare you not be filled with rage at all times?
The state of the world. Yeah.
And we're sitting here talking about deliveries of clothes that people don't really need.
No, they don't.
It's true. Yeah.
But we love it for some reason.
But we like talking about it because I don't know. It's like a toke from a bong
it's
for
like
me.
A drug.
It's just like
it's
not quite. It's not like mainlining something. It's just like a little like
just gurgle, a nice,
gurgle, gurgle.
Yeah.
A little. That's my bong. My bong gurgling
noise.
That's
a horrible
noise.
Bong.
The bong girl.
Your bong is broken, girl. Okay,
try
get
it,
a new
try
bong.
It. What's your bong then?
I'm not trying it. I know like, I can't like, make that sound. Oh, wait. Let me try this.
Yeah. That's it.
I don't know if that picked out. I just about drowned.
That is
oh,
it.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I don't know what a bong sounds like, you guys. What are you talking about? Oh, wait, it's legal now. It's fine. Never mind.
Bongs in Canada, it's fine.
We're in Canada. Guess what?
Bing! Even if it wasn't legal, you'd be a fucking liar.
My dad listens to this podcast.
I think he knows the gist of it by now. Disclaimer, I had a delicious little weed mint just as we were starting this, so that shit's kicking in now.
That's weed fun. Mint, yeah. Hey. Very cool.
Yeah, a California from the state of California.
Should we move on to the next one?
Yes.
Number three. Major designers shooting themselves in the foot.
Fucking up their brand.
That's all I could remember.
Yes, because there was multiple. Oh, shit, I just remembered all the Russian lady bullshit that happened with the N-word.
Was that last year?
Was it this year?
It was this year. I removed that from my brain.
Oh, God, I was like obsessed with that whole thing for a while.
I liked her clothes.
Well, Yulia Sergeyenko, I love her stuff so much.
She used the N-word?
Yeah.
So, did she do it to someone? No. Yeah, she sent flowers to an
influencer
and saying, "We're the N-words in Paris now," or something.
Oh no, girl.
And then quote unquote apologized
saying that she was quoting the Jay-Z and Kanye song.
I just love rap music, guys.
But then a bunch of other shit was unearthed between her and this.
Sounds like Dolce & Gabbana.
Oh, God. And
surprise,
her
surprise.
Thing.
We've been talking about diversity and
Miroslava Duma was the other lady. Mm. God damn it. Idiots. Anyway, so that's one example of just, you know, dumb shit people do.
Just don't be a racist and you don't have to worry.
It's real simple.
It's real easy.
It's real simple. And that seems to be a problem for...
but I think it's like some people don't think that they're racists.
That's the thing.
You know?
I have a black friend.
Yeah, exactly. That.
I marched in the 60s.
Yeah. I burned my bra. You know? Just like.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's really how it works, actually.
No.
That's what we're talking about.
And then it comes again to like diversity in your employees and peers in your company to make sure that Prada doesn't release a fucking racist monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few more people that should have seen that and gone.
Wait a minute.
This reminds me of something that makes me severely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Sure.
Makes a lot of
Let me just do a quick Google for you guys here.
Let me just see.
Yeah.
I've seen this before. What does this look like?
Doesn't look good.
Oh, boy. All these stories you can Google and readily find all this information about. Prada thing just happened like last week.
Yeah.
By the way, the list that we cut and paste came in part from the Harper's Bazaar year interview from 2018. That came out on the 18th or something of December. So if you wanted to reference that and get more information on some of these topics.
And I found a Fashionista article too that had some similar things.
That's where we got
that talked about
some of this list.
Dolce & Gabbana.
Yep.
Doing some dumb shit.
Mind you,
Stefano Gabbana has been saying dumb shit for a while.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Dumb in a bunch of ways.
I don't know why their press agents, or not press agents, their publicists.
Donald Trump still has a tweeter.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's the arrogant white man, isn't it? Just
do what he wants, man.
Doing whatever.
Don't think. Just do. It's fine. It's
going
to be fine. Is
Dolce & Gabbana privately owned? Do we know?
I don't know.
Let's ask
Siri. But yeah, they're just saying dumb shit, and they were
Siri.
Is Dolce & Gabbana privately owned? SPA, what does that mean? I think that means it's privately owned.
You're asking the wrong person.
I don't know.
Siri, I'm going to need better than that. Explain like I'm five. But yeah, so Dolce & Gabbana had this thing where they were shit talking China and Chinese people and their Chinese customers like the day before
a
multi-million dollar show and launch for their brand in China. That was then canceled because a whole bunch of people said they would not show up. I think that's how it started. They said a bunch of like celebrities and influencers were like, fuck this.
We're like, we're not signing on for this racist bullshit, you idiots.
And then they realized that they couldn't do it and the models were pulling out and the model agencies were pulling out and they had to cancel a whole giant show.
At least.
They didn't cancel it. The Chinese government canceled it.
Yeah,
it
China canceled it.
Yeah.
At least.
And when China cancels you.
Yeah.
They mean it.
And like, how could you fuck that up even? China is the most, I think next to India, India's getting up there big time in terms of just market.
Yeah, just market power.
Power.
Yeah.
China has the most people in the world, you idiot. They all are shopping
ton of money.
For that
They're
kind of high-end
all
stuff.
Over brands.
They love luxury brands. You're in China doing a show. Yes. That doesn't happen very often. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, can you imagine all of the people who had to jump through multiple hoops on fire.
For months.
Dipped
for
in
months.
Acid for months to get that shit together.
Happen.
And then their boss,
and
quote
24
unquote,
hours,
fucks
whatever,
it up.
And pulls the rug up from underneath them.
Mm.
And but one of the things that's super shitty about it, like,
I'd be crying under my desk.
A couple weeks later, they went and had another show in Milan or something. And everyone stood up and clapped for them. And they were so happy to receive them back in Italy. Oh, isn't that great?
Gross.
Because they're awesome.
This has been my last appearance on Fashion Night Podcast.
And it's just been a misunderstanding.
It's so
that I'm
awful.
Sorry you were offended. Oh,
everybody
my God.
Do better.
But then things like, there was like, I forget where I read it, and I'm pulling these numbers out of my ass, but like in one day in the store, the Dolce & Gabbana store in Shanghai, $40,000 worth of merchandise was returned.
Yeah.
Really?
And they asked for refunds because they, and like a whole bunch of people burning shit. Like
all, a bunch of department stores just throwing like $2,000 bags in a cardboard box.
There was a bunch of like Snapchats
removing
and stuff
all that
about
shit from
Chinese,
the floor.
Chinese consumers. Like literally lighting it on fire and that sort of stuff.
See, there's one good thing out of all of this, and that
cuts
is,
both ways.
I saw this a couple of, I think like those stupid red hats, the Trump hats, but it said, make racism bad again.
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like this kind of thing and the press that this kind of thing is getting and
the discussions that are happening afterwards.
That it's making racism bad again. So let's keep this part.
And I
going.
Think people are much more ready to not like to boycott brands and to not buy from them again.
Except for the entirety of the mainstream fashion industry, apparently.
Sure.
The people who still get paid by magazines who have these brands pay their advertising
their
budgets like all year. You know, they have to write about them in a good light, probably.
Yeah, I wonder.
They're not allowed to be critical about them. They're not allowed to sit down at their fashion show. They're not allowed to
No.
not
but this
write
is where the consumer
them.
Can come in,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully throw their weight around at the end of the day.
But I wonder if thing like if magazines like Harper's or Vogue after this pulls their ad space. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder. I haven't picked up a
Vogue. Maybe Vogue China.
Mario Testino is still getting jobs, okay?
Yeah, so is
so
Bruce
what
Weber.
The fuck? Bruce Weber was just at a thing, like working. So Condé Nast can suck a bag of dicks.
So this is where that very slow to change thing comes in.
Here's go. Yeah. Oh, they like don't hire him for 6 months, but then totally hire him afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Because he's the only guy who can take a picture.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's white and he's done it a long time.
And
so
he knows a bunch of the important people. Oh, well, we can talk briefly about Victoria's Secret too, which is different but similar. And they have had a lot of backlash, including tumbles in the stock market, their bottom line being affected.
The worst ratings for their fashion
show. The worst ratings
on TV
for their fashion
in its history.
Was it, what was the performer who performed and she was, and then now, because she performed in it like when they recorded it like 2 months ago and now she's like, oh, hell no, do not. Halsey?
Yes. Something like that, yeah.
And she was just like, nope.
Yeah.
Nope. I do not condone any of this. do not include me. It wasn't a thing when I recorded this back in October or whatever.
Yeah. It's not like she sits down with the president of Victoria's Secret and just like shoots the talks shit out for the day.
Yeah. You know? How he feels about
they might meet
body
in a boardroom.
Types and transgendered people being included in their customer base.
But also, let's be real. When that check is being waved in your face and you get to have your moment when this is like one of the most watched programs of the holiday season. And I'm sure Halsey has shit to sell on.
Oh, for sure.
She's got merch. She's got albums.
That bitch's face is on everything. Her face is on the radio all the time.
You know, you're not thinking about asking these kinds of things like a morality clause or anything like that.
No,
but maybe now that's
going to happen. Well, now look at like the Victoria's Secret. It's been waning over the past few years. I think it had reached its peak. This Victoria's Secret
The best
show.
One of all time was when Giselle opened it and Justin Timberlake sang "Sexy" back.
That was, that was 8 years ago.
That was 2007, I think. Yeah.
So maybe they need to hang up their wings.
It was of the time. It was of the time.
I mean, it's a sad Victoria's Secret is a sad state of affairs on any day.
Yeah,
on its own on a good day, on a bad day.
Fenty Beauty,
it's problematic.
Fenty lingerie of all time. Yeah. Let's give Rihanna that time slot on CBS next year.
Just give Rihanna all your money.
I agree.
She'll make good choices. She'll buy a bunch of weed. I'm fine with that choice.
Yeah.
She'll make some fucking cool shit.
And she thinks about other people.
Yeah. Weird.
She thinks about people who aren't in the same situation.
I just sent a screenshot of one of her tweets to a friend of mine to make her feel better because Rihanna's fucking dope.
Yeah. I love when she responds to people just out of nowhere. People will like say some dumb shit to her and then she'll just respond with like the best clap back, the best takedown, like so nice, but so just like
pointed,
just like hits it
beautiful
every time. We cannot talk about this topic without discussing the atrocity that was Chanel's Egyptian Métier d'Art show in New York.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was weak.
That's the best. That's like the highest compliment I could give them. It was weird.
I didn't see it. I mean, out of
we all know the clothes haven't been that great
for 15 years.
Except for that, what was that pink? That pink feathered moment on.
Oh, that was good.
That was the last Chanel thing that made me weak in the knees, honestly. Or the blue pan velvet dress on Julianne Moore.
Yeah, see that one was good too. That was fab. That was about it though.
Yeah.
Anyway, you got it. You need more than
all
that.
All this appropriating of things that don't belong to you or shouldn't. Just look. No. No.
Yeah. No. This fashion show was done in New York. At the Met, where they house a bunch of stolen shit from Egypt.
Yeah.
And then they did an extremely base, like...
uninspired.
One big brushstroke kind of interpretation.
This is Egypt, right?
Of Egyptian culture. And no mention of the fact that Egypt is, like, been torn asunder from...
Last 10 years of Egypt have been hell.
Yeah.
And, like, the only reason why this entire fountain or temple of Dondor or whatever the hell it is... in the Met is here is because this country has been torn asunder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they stole it 400 years ago and never gave it back. Ever.
Oh,
same with
every
other country.
Yeah.
A bunch of countries that were in the Commonwealth have on the same day issued requests to return antiquities to their country to British museums.
Well, I saw the British Museum was magnanimous in lending it back to Nigeria or wherever it was.
Nigeria, Rwanda.
Isn't that just really considerate of them to lend it back to them?
Thanks.
I'll just lend you back.
We need
Black Panther.
Yeah. We need what's his nuts? Michael B. Jordan to come back.
Yeah. Michael B.
Killmonger.
We need you.
Yes. Hey, man, if Michael B. Jordan showed up, I am mad.
No. I'll take it.
Nobody in this room would be mad at that.
Nope. Not for a minute. Number four, Model Alliance. They're doing good work.
Model Alliance
and rights for models.
Yes,
and
it's an organization started by Sarah Ziff, who was an advocate. She had a movie come out a few years ago called Misrepresentation, M-I-S-S, representation about the state and experiences of models in the modeling industry and how atrocious and essentially glorified human trafficking it is.
Yeah, it's gross.
With or without the sexual component, because sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. But just advocating for regulation, unions, laws, contracts, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. We're talking about change rooms, curtains behind at backstage at fashion shows. So you're not just changing in a room full of 200 men with cameras.
Yeah, that's
who are like quote on the, who are like quote not taking pictures of you.
Yeah,
who are quote on the job.
Yeah,
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 and being quote respectful.
Yeah.
So good, they're actually getting a bunch of agencies and models and high profile people to get on board with them, and calling out other brands when they don't do it, and having people talk, you know, speak up about Me Too stuff and being acknowledged and trying to get like body size stuff addressed, age stuff addressed, diversity stuff, safety, nudity, all that stuff, trying to help these poor people. We're just
and like being upfront about that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And not just like, oh, well, we, you know, we not changed our mind. We want to do this.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? We think this shot would work better. So take your clothes off. Yeah. Being like, hell no.
Oh, you didn't know you were shooting with a naked guy?
Yeah.
Because we didn't tell you in advance, even though we knew in advance.
You're going to be in this evening gown with a marabou jacket and like feeling gorgeous. But we didn't tell you that the guy's going to be naked the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time. And there's going to be 200 other people here watching this. So
you cool? This guy I've never met before.
Can I rub some lotion on your boobs?
Who's a little creepy. Yeah.
So good job, Model Alliance, and their respect program and trying to make these changes and make noise and make people. Because it's possible to do all of this work safely, respectfully, being paid adequately.
Mm-hmm. And
treated like a human being.
Should be. Shouldn't be.
Yeah. It's like, not, they're not asking.
Dancers have a union. Actors have a union.
They're not asking for unreasonable things.
Yeah.
Or things just that are basic out of the realm of possibility.
Human rights kinds of things.
Yeah. Weird, hey?
Weird. I saw also, I think it was on that Harper's Bazaar article, or it was the next article, you know how they just like feed into the next thing, whatever. But the, I can't remember what her name is, but like the model of the year 2018, according to whatever this was a fucking 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Can we please stop putting teenagers on top model
if they can't
list?
Drink or drive a car.
If you can't vote.
If you can't vote, I don't want to hear it.
If you need your see it. Parent to drop you off, not that a 17-year-old model is getting their parents to drop them off. Although in her case, her
but they
mom
can't
was
legally
also
sign.
Home.
They can't legally sign contracts. That you can't sign a contract with a 17-year-old.
This just blows.
Then you just don't
my
sign
mind.
A contract, and it's just a wink.
Then it's just a wink and a handshake. Yeah.
Great. That ends up. Yeah, that's going to work out in her favor.
So great work for Model Alliance. I hope it turns some shit around, and I hope it brings
more people get on board.
That.
They've had a lot of traction this year, and here's hoping that this is only the beginning for them. So good job, Model Alliance.
Good
Keep
job.
It up.
There's light at the end of the tunnel of this shit year. Mm-hmm. Number five, last but not least, year of Diet Prada.
Pretty much everything.
Thank God
pretty much
Diet Prada.
Everything we've talked about, they have talked about.
If you're not following Diet Prada,
you need to get on it.
You are missing.
If you're interested in what we talk about on this show, Diet Prada is an excellent resource. They started out doing like people ripping off other people.
Yeah.
Like and not just being like, oh, I'm also making like a cerulean sweater.
Yeah.
No, but that's like, just the fashion cycle now. No. Like you are exactly the same.
Yeah. With the same ruffle here and the little brooch there.
Yeah.
And just like,
and this color here and this fabric.
The same
it's
knit.
So satisfying.
The same like weird abstract handprint in the same place. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh God. It makes me so happy every time
brilliant.
I see it.
My favorite thing was when they take the reproductions.
The Dior skirt.
The Dior skirt with the weird sunshine face.
Yeah.
Like the weird mouth. The Dior piece was a beautiful, like, see-through taffeta skirt with these intricate, of course, beautiful embroideries of these celestial moons and stars.
Like astrological drawings.
It was beautiful, beautiful. And then there was this one, she was an Australian influencer, and she borrowed this, quote, Dior skirt from a, quote, licensed seller.
Yeah.
But the face was all, like, real
horrible,
mangled,
like it had been through the wash and
melted wax, maybe. And they fucking like Diet Prada posted.
Someone
for
was
like
embroidering it,
about
like,
it or
it
something, and they kept coming. And like they made a T-shirt of it. Their merch is outstanding because they just take the fucked up stuff. Dolce & Gabbana is repeatedly in their merch. You please say sorry to me.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite Stefano Gobana quotes. Please say sorry to me, because he was offended by something they said.
Please say sorry to me might be my mantra for 2019.
Please say sorry to me. But anyway, they call out everything all the time, and it's great, and they're never wrong, and they're so funny and smart and quick and well-researched. And like it was these two people who started, this woman and this man, who started it out 4 years ago while they were peons in the industry. First of all, how many times can I use the word peon in the same industry? In the same episode, I mean. I've said it a lot.
The word peon should just be the only...
For the word for 2018, yeah. We're all just peons. But they were just so sick of the bullshit.
Is that kink shaming?
Peon?
Yeah.
I thought it was like a pawn thing, like a chess thing.
Yeah, it's...
I think you're doing it in a different context than the rest of us.
You're hearing it differently than I am.
I may or may not have imagined...
It was kicking in?
Yeah, I may or may not have imagined it being like degrading somebody by peeing on them, but...
I think there's just one E in the word peon.
Yeah, okay, so it's P-E-O-N. Okay.
Yes, so not that so second
it's a Latin moment.
I believe so.
Yeah. Like much of the English language.
Yes.
Anywho.
Anyway.
Remember that weed mint I talked about about 15 minutes ago?
No. Back to Diet Prada. So yeah. They were these two people, and they were just doing grunt work and just being, you know, getting all the shitty jobs, being super frustrated in the industry, but of course, like us, still loved it and still wanted to be in it desperately.
Fashion girls.
Oh, these fashion girls. They got it so rough. So they decided, they've been doing it for 4 years, but we only figured out who they actually were like this year, because they were like anonymous for a long time.
And they almost... They were a major reason that the China Dolce & Gabbana show came to light. And the way
they screen grab everything. Yeah. And now they have an army of diet prodigies. Nope, that sounds rude too.
Aren't they dieters? And they're called dieters?
Yes, yeah. They're dieters.
I think
who all collect this information and screen grab this, and they know somebody here, or hey, I worked at this brand here before and I saw this in our archives and blah 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 blah. It's so awesome to see all these people on these lower levels in the fashion industry, or not even at all, just people who were like, yeah. I don't know.
And there are like big names in the industry who tip them off on shit.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Naomi Campbell always tips them off about shit.
Loves talking.
They're like, call it out, Diet Prada. Call it out.
Yeah.
Just like on
live feed or whatever. Yeah.
Naomi also is good friends with Stefano and Domenico.
She's problematic.
Yeah.
In a few ways. But they were talking, like, they did a post a while ago about like American politics and immigration and all the shit happening there. And like they talked about the guy who's Asian American talked about his parents coming to the States and making their way. And this is bullshit. And this country is fucked and they can't continue like this. And using this huge platform with, I don't know how many followers they have on Instagram. I don't know, 3 million or something ridiculous.
I'd say more than that.
Something huge. All the hypocrisy, everything Karl Lagerfeld says.
Yeah.
Everything he says, yeah.
One of my favorites.
Oh, they have 1 million.
Oh, 1 million. Oh my God, I can't believe they don't have more.
I know.
But there was one post.
Till this episode comes
seriously.
Out. We're going to boost those numbers.
They were talking
numbers.
About, there's a post not that long ago, and it was Karl Lagerfeld has a famous quote about, if you wear track pants, you've given up on life. And then his brand with $78, Karl Lagerfeld track pants.
love it. I love it. I love it.
Diet Prada got in my good books just because they fucking hate Hedi Slimane, which I'm very much on board with because he fucking sucks. So I was very excited to hear their take on pretty much anything Hedi Slimane does.
One's fun.
That's good. And then they're on top of Dolce & Gabbana. They can't say boo without Diet Prada knowing about them.
Oh, yeah. They know what's up. They are in the mix.
Yes. So it's very satisfying. Like I said, it's a mixture of very relevant things and very frivolous things and very smart things, very dumb things. Oh, it's all the things I like all together. And it's a good way to give you hope and a place to vent.
Yeah, and share your frustrations.
Yes.
And laugh at the whole bullshit.
Laugh at it all at the same time.
So what's our time like here?
Yeah, we should. We're going to talk about our favorite episodes.
Yeah, we're going to go around the horn
very quickly before we
talk. Since we've been gassing up Harper's Bazaar here, can we talk about the ridiculous cover with Julie? What's her face? Julia Roberts scaling a cliff in a pink evening gown.
What's that?
What? I loved it.
I haven't seen it.
In like Dior sneakers, just like scaling the side of a mountain, like
ugh, those Dior
like rock climbing.
Terrible.
They were awful, but I loved it. I love
that is one of the things
I love the weirdness.
I hate all of those giant sneakers.
I do too. They're horrific. Yeah.
I hate them so much.
Yeah.
I hate them more than a lot of fashion things that I
the Gucci ones with like the crossed Swarovski crystal chains on the top.
No. The Louis Vuitton ones are terrible. Mm. Oh man!
I saw there's a pair in the Versace window right now downtown, and
the sole is
a chain.
Ooh, I do like those.
You do? You like?
No,
you like
I only like the bottom.
The bottom of it.
The shoe can be thrown into the ocean.
Would you prefer like a slimmer kind of tennis shoe as opposed to this chunky shoe?
Yes.
Moment. I think they need to be chunky so they can justify charging them that much. You know.
I don't know.
You don't think so,
they're
or is it like a proportion thing?
No,
they're not getting like luxury rubber. They're getting the same fucking rubber everybody else.
That
is.
Your $90 Reeboks are. Yeah.
Give it 9 months and maybe a year. And it'll be all these slim
leather shoes.
And they'll be exactly the same price.
Yeah.
I don't know. Unless there's fur on it, I don't think.
Or
I don't
diamonds.
Think that's a major
actual diamonds.
The Swarovski crystals.
Yeah. Or something. Yeah. I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at the fur. Those hideous Miu Miu ones from a few years ago that had all the fucking Muppet fur on them. Putting my foot in them is a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think they're cute. I think they're interesting. No, these sneakers can all. Die in a fire. So that's my big thing.
And that's what half of the shoe department is at Holtz and Nordstrom.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I was walking through there today. I was like, no. Anyway.
No thanks.
But we were going to talk about some episodes, some hag recap.
Yeah.
Evan, how good it was. Your favorite episode
is there something
this year?
You remember that we did this year that, or did 2018? Since this is coming out 2019.
I love the episode with Aunt Sheila. That one was a long time in the making.
Yes, it was. It was, what, July?
Mm-hmm.
July of 2018. It was a real nonsense episode.
Oh,
it was great.
So fun.
Those ones are my favorite.
Yes.
Now was at the old house, too.
Yeah.
Yes. It was a good time. It was summertime. It was great.
It was visiting time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was a fun one. That was mm-hmm.
a very
sure.
good episode.
Hi, Sheila.
Hey, I know you're listening. Hi.
You fucking better be.
Abby, what was yours?
I loved our Fashion Futures episodes.
Those were really
I thought
fun.
Those were super cool. Mm-hmm. They were fun to do. They were fun to research.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about some cool stuff.
Yep.
About what the future of fashion could possibly be like. And we split it up into three different episodes and what that looked like and what it was like production and PR and...
I wrote it down. We talked about... the first one was about manufacturing. The second one was the quote unquote shop floor, whether it's digital
the
or
the shopping experience, the retail space.
Yeah. And then the third one was the garments themselves, the clothes.
Oh, because you talked about weird medical shit and like
medical
futuristic
and technology and fabrics and stuff like that. Yeah, that was a fun series.
And it was like half real information and half. What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think is going to look like in 100 years? So I'm very proud of those episodes. The Madison Reed episode about feminism is also very interesting.
Oh, yeah. That one was really fun.
We talked about some cool stuff there.
My favorite episode, I'm sure you won't be surprised, was my dad when we had my dad.
Oh, my God. That was so great. Talk about jean shopping.
Fun. Talk about denim and buying the most expensive pair of jeans my dad has ever put on his body, which he has since now reordered.
Oh,
which,
good job, Chris. Go for it. You find something you like, you buy it again.
It lasts forever.
Do it. And he knows the size and...
Perfect.
Perfection. Perfect.
That was such a treat for me.
Yes.
It was so fun. Like, we had such a fun time. It was very insightful. It was very hilarious. And very self-indulgent.
Yeah.
On my part. And it
Us?
Was a real
self-indulgent?
Treat.
Self-indulgent? No.
It was very humbling to have my dad on, and it was very sweet that he agreed to come.
He was stoked, too.
Yeah.
He was, and such a good guest.
Lovely guest.
Very well prepared.
Didn't the first thing he say be able to, like, hilarious?
It was wonderful.
Hilarious?
Yeah.
Forget what it was, but it was, like, an awesome joke.
What was it? Oh. I was about... It was fishing hags, yes. Not fashion hags.
Misunderstood what the show was about.
I'm going to talk about angling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Angling versus nets.
Yeah.
Freshwater versus saltwater.
Oh, anyway, that was great.
Yeah, that was probably my
that was a good time.
My top. Mm. That was my favorite one.
Oh, fun. Well.
What was your top toot of the year? Your favorite look that you saw somewhere? A red carpet, a moment, someone on the street, a dog, for that matter, yourself? Mm. When you surprised yourself and slapped together a good moment?
What did I do this year?
I made a point to push myself further into the realms of feminine dressing.
Yes.
As I sit here wearing a cargo pant.
You just posted yourself in a skirt the other day. It looked fucking awesome.
I did.
You looked great.
I did my final business talk.
Oh, sure. When you're in
a skirt.
Yeah.
And heels. Mm-hmm. Immediately disarmed all those old hats.
Yeah, fuck that.
And I bought my first pair of like 4-inch heel boots, which
beauties.
Are torture.
Yes.
But looks so good.
Fashion is suffering. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Beauty by impairment, darling.
Yes. I'm finally getting to my personal style. I'm almost 40 and I'm inching closer.
I'm getting there too.
I think you the same thing. Like this year really made a concerted effort to like be really conscious of what you're buying and will it work? Are you actually going to wear this? Does it go with 3 to 5 other objects mm-hmm. in your closet already? And not just buying shit to buy shit because you need something. Shopping your own closet, trying to find better brands. I mean, we recapped our Dumb Doofus episode, How Not to Be a Dumb Doofus. And we talked about 2 years later, the things that we had done. That's another great episode. The first Dumb Doofus episode was great too. And that was like June 2016. And then we did in June 2018, mm-hmm. we did a recap on what we had done since then. And we'd all made significant strides.
We should come back and do that again in the summer.
I think it's a good thing to keep doing.
Because
it's nonstop.
Everybody.
It's not. It's something that you will do all the time. Or you should be doing all the time, is being thoughtful.
And also, all of you guys who are listening, let us know what you guys are up to too. We would love to hear what you guys are.
Yes.
What changes you've made, what choices you've made, what pieces you found that you love that you can work with a million other things in your wardrobe or whatever. Like, let us know. We fucking love that shit. We love it so much.
Yeah, send us brands. Sell us companies. Sell us article. Whatever, man. We love it.
Love
we
it.
Live for this shit.
Tell us. Tell us everything.
On that note, we will stop talking.
We have to go so we can go back.
Yeah. And we're back. We never really left.
We didn't leave.
No.
We just stopped recording for a minute.
We told all of
our
secrets.
Get away from you.
But now we're back to talk about obsessions.
Who wants to go first? You do, Abby.
I'll go first. I got one. Mm-hmm. Katie will be proud of me. It's another murder podcast.
Oh, girl. I know this one. I should have known.
I'm so like.
Talk about it.
I'm so like case specific with these like murder mysteries.
Me too.
Like there's a lot. I can't just like blankly listen to like all this murder shit and like just be fine with it.
No.
I like with the Golden State Killer like that. And I will exhaust every episode of every show about that one thing.
Completely.
And then compartmentalize that in my brain.
Yeah. Then take a few weeks off and come back.
You can be there. Find something else. I forget. It must have been you who recommended it to me because I was just looking for
I'm
a new
sure
show.
It was.
I've had a lot of turnover in my podcasts in 2018. Like, I listened to the same ones 4 years, and then this year, I'm all over the place. And especially, there's so many more serialized podcasts, too, nowadays, right?
Yeah.
So, it's easy to, like, listen to 8 episodes.
You're like, well, we'll do another lap around the park because...
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to take the extra long drive home. Sorry, kids. I try not to listen to murder podcasts with my children in the car. Just the caveat there.
Not a bad idea.
But this one called Teacher's Pet that came out in 2018. It's a murder mystery. Murder? You don't even know yet, maybe?
I'm only how good enough?
But then also, how good enough is a murder? About this woman who went missing in 1982. And her husband is a piece of human garbage.
Fucking monster, this guy.
In amongst many other pieces of human garbage.
In a system that promotes...
Which is just built on garbage and garbage people not doing their jobs. I was telling Katie, I'm like, I don't know how many times I just scream into the void. Mm-hmm. Like how fucking bungled mm-hmm. this case was in the suburbs of Sydney. This woman went missing.
It's all done by the Australian, their newspaper down there. Yeah. And it's like expertly researched.
This guy, this researcher, this journalist does not fuck around. Like he did not come to play. Like he is so thorough. He interviews fucking everybody, every single lead. And I'm 10 episodes into the like 16 or 18 episodes. And there's probably going to be more because the case is ongoing because he is unearthing so much shit. And like he talks to people and they're like, well, did the police ever talk to you? No. Well, you were the best friend of the person who would. I'm trying not to give spoilers away.
Yeah. Also, don't Google anything because there's some shit that's happening. Yeah.
I did Google a bit because I like spoilers, but it's fine.
It prepares you if things turn the way you don't want them to.
Exactly. But yeah. Anyway, like it is so well done. It is so thorough. It is so frustrating. It is so compelling. The story of, I was telling Katie today, I just have these weird Australian voices in my head now because I'm just listening. I've listened to like, I don't know, 15 hours of it in the last week.
I was listening to a podcast.
It was murder. Lynn Dawson's murder.
Murder.
He's a murderer.
Ah, you're
an adulterer. And a murderer.
I was listening to a podcast.
They found a cardigan under the pavers in the pool.
In the pool. Ah! She's under the pool. It was another Australian. It was Case File, and it was which is another Australian true crime podcast. It's a weekly one. It's not serialized. But you should listen to the Golden State Killer.
I was going to say, I still haven't listened to the Golden State Killer that one because I got sidetracked.
But there's part of this episode includes the first part of a 911 call. It's this guy with this Australian accent. Obviously, he's Australian. And he's like, oh, yeah, what's going on then, matey? And he's like, this guy's like panicking. He's like, my family's been shot. And he's like, God. Oh, they've been shot, eh? And I was like, no. Oh my God, is this real? It made me like, it was a tense moment. He's like, oh, you've been shot, eh? Like, he's trying to get information from
sure,
him.
Sure, yeah,
sounds
yeah.
So like, oh, yeah, mate, come on then.
That accent, that accent just so like sounds so mate. Chill.
So chill. Yeah. Like, oh, going for a surf later. You want to come
don't
down?
Don't eat shoes.
Yeah. Oh, he's been shot then, eh, mate?
Yeah, good on the pub, have a beer. Don't need to wear shoes. Fine.
It was hilarious.
Oh, Muriel's wedding.
He just said, it's great. I can't wait. Like I said, I'm like 10 episodes in. And I think he even said, like episode 4, he's like, oh, we're about halfway through. And then this whole thing just snowballed and there's more people and there's more, he shows or includes clips of like Australian like TV media and stuff mm-hmm. also getting on board and other people who are trying to pull strings and like light a fire under the fucking police force and the DPP.
And people getting mad.
Trying to like get charges laid.
Yeah.
And no charges were ever laid.
And other students coming forward and being like, yeah, this
yeah,
was
the guy
real
was a
thing.
Teacher and he's a real piece of shit.
Just a massive.
Anyway, it's a huge clusterfuck. And I can't wait to listen to more.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's really great. So that's me.
That's a good one.
Like I said, I'm like, how many? How can I fit in this podcast into my life?
It's good.
It's so good.
Evan, what about you, darling?
My obsession, since this is our year in review, I've been just looking in amazement at all of my Indigiqueer kin, some of them don't even know that we consider them kin because we've never met, sure. But there's so few of us here. And
you've had a good year.
I
remember you talking like last year, but trying to
expand this kinship
this
network.
This little circle
and
that you can
support.
Create. This chosen family, right?
Because even amongst the queer community, there's just things that you don't understand unless you're native. And that's just kind of the way it is. So it's really nice to have been brought into this community in the last year who occupies both of those spaces.
Yes.
And we can all discuss
and be and
the nuances and the particulars and the secrets and the joys and the everything about being Indigenous
means,
and queer. Just some things of note from the last year. Billy Ray Belcourt won the the Griffin Prize, which is the biggest poetry prize in Canada and the youngest person to ever win it. It's a huge prize. I think it's like a $50,000 literary prize.
Nice. Wow.
Jeremy Ducher won the Polaris Music Award.
Oh, yeah.
Which is also a huge award here in Canada. It's kind of like the Polaris Awards. They're kind of like
they gave to Kendrick
the Grammys,
Lamar's.
Right?
No.
Oh, no. It's bigger than that. It's almost like...
But only one person wins.
Yeah, only one person gets it.
It's like an artistic merit prize.
Yeah.
That's not like... how many albums you sold and how many times your face was on MTV.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like a fucking MTV movie award.
Yeah, no. This is based on your artistic merit.
Exactly, talent. Yeah. And my friend Jay Simpson, just a couple of weeks ago, staged a teach-in amongst a group of other QT BIPOC folk, meaning queer, trans, black, and indigenous people of color, in response to the Vancouver Public Library's
bullshit.
Allowing a known TERF to occupy
and
space.
Hater and terrible person.
And awful, yeah. Like
TERF is trans exclusionary radical feminist.
Yes. She's also a sex worker exclusionary radical feminist. Yeah. She's a SWERF as well as a TERF.
Her name's Megan Murphy. Basically, the VPL allowed this woman to rent facilities.
To use their space, yeah.
And... it goes against all of these things in their code of ethics. It goes against all of these things in
inclusivity,
their
safety,
manifesto, and goes against all of these. It goes against basically everything that they stand for as a library and an institution of knowledge, and
a city-owned and operated part of the
exactly.
community.
From an indigenous point of view, that really
well, you know, that, as we're
that,
learning,
yeah, that's a whole other situation.
Yeah,
It was such a beautiful thing to experience because yet again, queer people were expected to hold and coddle and educate with
or
such,
shut up,
or not say anything. Yeah. And in this moment, they decided, no, we're not going to stay silent. We're not going to just be relegated to the sidelines and the darkness. We're going to sit here on the stage and we're going to tell you to your face
why
this is fucked
wrong.
Up. Yeah. And why our community no longer feels safe to go to the library.
That's great. It's good for Jay.
You know,
that's
so awesome. It was Jay, Kai Cheng Tom. I can't remember the other two folks that were on the Molly Billows, who's an indigenous queer poet, and the woman who is the head librarian of the Vancouver Public Library. Oh. The whole situation, she sat there and listened to the critique from people in the community. Fellow librarians came up, people who are employees of the library came up and voiced their disgust basically over this issue.
That's great.
And it was just such a beautiful moment of education and caretaking and reclaiming that space. And it was really beautiful. And among so many other things, like my friend Emily Riddle did a talk at Harvard, and like so many Indigiqueer people had their books green-lighted this year. So there's going to be so much Indigiqueer literature and
Indigenous fashion
and prose.
Indigenous
Fashion Week happened. And yeah, my brother screened his film at Imaginative and was a programmed a bunch of beautiful events at the Vancouver Queer Film Festival. And yeah.
You were in National Geographic.
I was in National Geographic. Yeah. It's been a great year for the community. It's been a hard year, obviously, with everything that's gone on in the world. And it's never
but you've learned
going
you
to be
other,
easy to right? exist in this colonial shit show. But now we know that we're leaving something behind for other people to be lifted up and bolstered by, because we as indigenous queers, we don't really have a lot of indigenous queer elders for many reasons. And hopefully the indigenous queers who are coming
after
us will have something there to
a path that is
as a bit of a
lit,
guidance
right?
or to lift them up or to make them laugh
direct
or feel seen.
Yeah.
To stand on, yeah.
Fantastic. Bravo.
Bravo. And more. More, please.
More.
We all need to learn more about all of
all these
different
things.
Kinds of people and
these
points
dualities
of view
and these, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
To always bring it back to Dr. Angela, we are more alike than we are unalike. And I think, like, that's when I've been trying to deal with really difficult people throughout the year. It's been one. That's just always ringing my head. We are more like the ground. Like, try and find the similarities. Try and understand where they're coming from, even if you want to rip their head off.
Yeah, there you go.
So
is it puppies? You could show them pictures of puppies.
Yeah, everybody loves puppies.
Everybody likes puppies.
Yeah, that's kind of a.
You know what? Use that if you need to. Yeah. I figure it's a it's
pull
a
up
universal
that baby
language.
Hippo that's on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, Fiona.
There you go.
Should make anybody smile.
Okay, I'm done.
Well, I should have gone. We should have ended with you.
Please, I want.
How do you follow that?
Completely self-indulgent.
I want it.
I have been obsessing over this for a couple of weeks, but because it was secret Christmas gifts, I couldn't say anything.
Top secret.
But now it's after Christmas. The secret is out. But I've made now 5 little personalized dolls as Christmas gifts.
Beautiful.
Abby, I think you've seen a picture. I don't know if you've seen
pictures.
I saw
some. I saw like work in progress ones. I haven't actually seen the finished ones.
So my sister-in-law and her husband are in the process of adopting a little girl. And she's adorable. And so it's her first Christmas. They live in LA. And so Chris, my husband and I cannot go down to LA. We won't be able to be down there for Christmas. So we're missing her first Christmas. She is Hispanic. Her background is Hispanic. I think her family is from Mexico. They live in LA, this little girl. So and so now she has 2 white parents. So into a white family of loud Dutch people and confusing names. She's got a long road ahead of her. She's really cute. But anyway, so because we're not going to be able to be down there for Christmas, I wanted to make her something nice. So I phoned my mom, who made these dolls when I was young. Like, she used to make little personalized dolls. And I was like, Mom, you still have that doll pattern? So she sent it along to me and I tweaked a little bit between like the PDF scan and the
weird iPhone pictures whatever. Yeah.
And so I made a little mini version of her with a little dress, like a little Christmas dress. And I made a little mini version of me so that
you're at Christmas.
So that I'm there for Christmas, and a little mini version of my husband so that we can all be together for Christmas.
Make it a place for you at the table.
Yes, exactly.
Include you in pictures.
So they're all cotton. They're all, the hair was the hardest thing to like.
I'm just saying, like, this hair is laid.
Yeah, the hair was a lot.
I love it.
I'll put some pictures up. But the hair, I think, is the only thing that's not natural. I couldn't find, it's like an acrylic.
Sure.
It's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a wool acrylic blend.
But even for the hair, an acrylic might be necessary because that show, it's going to be torn asunder.
Mm-hmm.
I think
so. It's going to take a beating.
Yeah. Yeah. But they turned out really good. They're really cute. I really wanted them to look, you know, cute and fun and adorable, but like the people. So Chris cute. Has a little mustache. He's got a little,
his little flip.
Receding hair,
whatever. Yeah,
a little curl. He's got red hair, and me and this little girl both have. I'm not going to say her name because that's not my business to share her
business.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
But she's got a little brown hair, little brown eyes, and a little. You know, dark tan skin, and Chris and I are both these white, pale pinkos, you know.
Blending into your Mongolian long-haired fur throw in the in a beautiful back. Natural white.
Yes, yeah. The little dress that I'm wearing is a dress I literally have.
I know, that's like the best part of, like, the little saffron-colored shoe.
Well, yeah. Yellow shoe, for sure.
It had to be quite legit. So my husband has been making fun of me for weeks about the
making these
particulars of it. It's like, well, I didn't get her dimples quite right. I didn't get the freckles quite right.
The eyes aren't the right shape, or they don't match.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then I made another one for my friend Olivia, former guest, and her partner Adam. Because Olivia's like, they're so cute, I want one. So I was like, well, I'll make you one.
Yep.
So I made that for Christmas. So Adam has, you know, a little pair of, I don't know why I did this to myself. It's because I'm a perfectionist, but I made a little pair of pants that are like, you know, those Fair Play style of, like, they're like jogger, they're called jogger pants.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a cotton
track pants
with a cuff.
Yes.
So I made a little, like a elastic waistband with like little midi cuffs, like the cuffs on the feet are like an inch worth of elastic that I like sewed and everything. It was crazy. Chris is like, why are you doing this to yourself? I'm like,
it's gotta be perfect.
When, where does a pair of straight leg pants? I've got to put the cuff on. He wears his mouth all the time. And Olivia's got a little hair. She's got a little coat outfit that she has. Anyway,
oh
they turned
God.
Out really good. I'm really happy
Amazing.
With them. And
of course, now my niece saw a picture of them and she's like, well, I want one.
And the question is,
I should have known that.
Are the outfits like changeable? Can you change the outfit?
You can take them off. Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
I didn't make more than one outfit per doll, but I could. But
that could be a future gift, but they definitely
come off. At one point, you could make your blue Alston wedding gown in a mini version.
Or make her an Easter dress.
For an Easter dress.
Summer day dress. Whatever, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Make her a little
I've yet to conquer a collar on these
tiny
clothes
because
they're so small. They don't have a neck. It's like head into shoulders.
Yeah, they don't have a neck. If I had a tiny sewing machine, making tiny clothes would be much easier, but I have a big sewing machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a normal human-sized sewing machine.
I just had the weirdest deja vu. Have we talked about making tiny clothes on a tiny sewing machine before?
I don't think so.
No. You can go to Toys R Us and buy like a little teeny tiny one for like $30.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, if it works,
I don't know.
A little teeny tiny bobbin. Probably not worth it.
Very effective to actually sew real clothes out of.
Real clothes. Anyway, they turned out really good. I'm really happy with them. My mom's like, you should go into business. And I'm like, I would have to charge $500 a piece for these to make money back on the time I spent. But they were really, really fun. So I hope everybody likes them. I'll give you an update.
There you go.
Maybe they're all in the trash right now. I have no idea.
Yeah.
They've turned out into voodoo dolls.
But I do want to make a little mini version of Chris, my husband, just for me to have because he's the cutest one.
He's pretty sweet.
That'd be awesome. So. Anyway, that's me. I've been obsessed. Like, I haven't been able to talk to this for two full episodes. Now, finally, I'm like,
awesome.
I'm done. Yeah, that's me.
Oh, well, it's a good time to end it then.
Mm-hmm.
Happy New Year, Hags.
Happy New Year, 2019. Thanks onward and upward.
Bright solstice.
As my father would say, you wipe your boot off and you move on.
Love it. That's one of my favorite.
And
Campbellisms.
Ian's got it going on.
Yeah.
He knows what's up. So that's what we're going to do.
Rate and review and subscribe.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Let us know what you'd like to hear for the rest of the year.
Yes, please. Yeah. Instagram, Fashion Hags Podcast. Mm. FashionHagsPodcast.com. You can find us there.
Mm. Find us.
Fashion Hags.
Yeah, check the recap episode or the recap website.
Yeah, you can leave comments there if you want. Mm-hmm. You can share it around. You can stream it there if you don't want to subscribe. But
please do.
Because that gives our numbers
helpful.
It really helps.
Yes.
Helps in ways that we can't explain
to you. I can't explain.
No.
It's Computrix stuff. I don't know.
It's all algorithms or something.
Yeah, or something.
I don't know. Computer words.
I got 40% in grade 12 calculus, so.
I didn't even get to calculus when I was in high school, so. You're doing all right.
I had to listen to the Deviates album, I can't remember what it's called now, basically on repeat, headphones loud, no distractions to get through high school math.
Yeah,
it was not good. Also, shout out to Nancy Garnham who
got you through it. Yeah,
thanks mom, I really needed your help.
Oh boy.
Anyway, you guys, thanks again. As always, happy new year to you and yours, and remember, we really do love you.
But we love fashion more.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. And also Dia Prada.
Yeah.
We love
it. Bye. Fashion.